Moncrief on News Talk.
How many bedrooms are there?
Three. The master is through the common area, right. And then there is one bedroom on either side.
Okay, so Lucky, you're with me.
Right. You can sleep with me. I don't mind.
That'd be weird.
Why is it weird?
Because brothers and sisters don't sleep together after they have full grown, you know,
genitals.
Saxon.
What?
That's a bad word.
Well, that already sounds fascinating. That is from The White Lotus, new episode of season 3 every Monday on Sky Atlantic and Now TV. And James Dempsey is here to tell us more about it. James, lovely to see you. How are you today?
You too. Very well, thank you.
Great expectation around this. It's been some of the best TV the last few years, isn't it?
I would say probably the most anticipated show of the first 6 months of the year anyway, yeah. At least until The Last of Us season 2 debuts and everyone says the most anticipated show of the year. But either way, still a very nice and timely return, I think. Like, the first season debuted in 2021. Mid-pandemic, and it was sort of conceived as a pandemic show.
So was it really?
Yeah, so HBO went to Mike White, the creator. Now, I mean, maybe not a household name, but much more famous than he was. Although his credits are, you know, prolific, and he's a very interesting person. I'll come back to him in a second. But they went to him looking for ways that maybe they could film something under pandemic conditions. And he proposed this idea of going to a hotel and just basically checking into a hotel and seeing a week with the guests and the staff, and then convinced HBO to fund it and go to Hawaii for, I don't know, a month or whatever. How awful. And since then, he's been obviously in Sicily, and now this third iteration finds us in Thailand. So he's onto a winner, to be honest with you.
That's great. So that idea was that they would all basically in a little COVID bubble.
Exactly, yeah, exactly.
Oh, wow, what a stroke of genius.
It is a stroke of genius. And also it means that the show is sort of infinitely reproducible in the sense that they can just assume there's a White Lotus anywhere in the world,
yeah, and then it's a chain.
It's a chain, exactly. And then they just go and have a, you know, new set of people working there and a new set of extremely rich people staying there, because obviously what we glean as viewers is that none of us can afford to stay in a White Lotus. And I will say they're already scouting for season 4, and all that we have is that it's somewhere in Europe, most likely. But
Sligo,
perhaps. Who knows?
We live in hope. We live in hope. Very good. Who'd have thought COVID-19, something good could come of it?
Yeah, exactly.
But it's always been, it just seems to be exceptionally well written and high kind of concept and a brilliant cast.
Very much so. I think it kind of, it peaks in a number of different areas. First of all, because it's his baby, right? He is the only writer. He is the director. He is the overseer of the entire thing, right? So it's a very much a Mike White production, and what he wants to happen happens. Furthermore, I think it's shot so stylishly, the panning camera, even the kind of interstitial moments where they look at I think very much of season 2 where it was like rolling sea waves, and this time around it's similar enough vibes in Thailand, is all really, really good. The choice of music is absolutely fantastic, and they have updated the theme tune to a slightly different iteration this time around as well. Like, all in as well, it's a fantastic use of casting, because if you think back to pandemic time, you know, not all of the cast of season 1 were perhaps as hotly regarded as they are now.
Yeah.
Same thing with season 2. They managed to find these actors who are kind of character actors who've appeared in lots of different things and sort of catapult them into a new stratosphere in terms of their acting skills. And the same here. I mean, the cast is really, really fantastic. Like, there's some very big heavyweights in the sense of Carrie Coon, who's a very well-known TV and stage actress in the US. Walton Goggins, who people will know from The Shield. He voices Cecil in Invincible, amongst other things. He's an Oscar winner in his own right. Jason Isaacs, the British actress. Parker Posey, putting on the thick southern drawl we heard there. The first voice we heard was a very recognisable Patrick Schwarzenegger, no prizes for guessing whose son he is.
Wow.
but he's not the only Nepo baby in the cast, because there's also his brother in it, Lachlan, who's played by Sam Nivola, who's Alessandra, if you saw the brutalist Alessandra Nivola's son, and Emily Mortimer's son. And the returning big name, so obviously in the first 2 seasons, we had returning characters, and this time to certain fates, and this time around we have a returning character from season 1 who is Natasha Rothwell, who plays Belinda, who was the sort of healthcare manager in the Hawaiian one. Is now sort of learning the ropes again, how to expand her healthcare stuff in Maui while in Thailand. And of course, it's not the only callback, because obviously the first one opens with a dead body, the second one opens with several dead bodies, and this first one opens with a, well, with a dead body, but also some dramatic shooting, is all I'll say, yeah. Right? And like, all in, I can see how some people would be a bit like, well, are we just doing the same thing again? But actually, I really liked it.
The same thing is fantastically brilliant.
Yes, exactly.
I have no problem with that.
I'm on the same page as you there. But as I said, like, Mike White is this very interesting TV writer, in the sense that, you know, he wrote School of Rock back in the early aughts with Jack Black, and he wrote lots of feature films. And then he made this show for HBO called Enlightened with Laura Dern. That is this cancelled cult darling. People who have watched it absolutely will rave rhapsodically about it. I've never gotten around to it, but it's like something that I keep meaning to do. And then he sort of went off into the wilderness and appeared on two different seasons of The Amazing Race and a season of Survivor, you know, the one that's on TG Cahir, the kind of desert island competition, where he competed and was an ultimate runner-up right at the very end. And then he went on to make The White Lotus. You know, like, it's
a very strange path.
It is a very strange path. And he just wrote, I think, Despicable Me 4. So he's got deep pockets, definitely, at this stage in his career. Fantastic. But like, I think what it means is he's someone who loves TV, because he has appeared in so many different kinds of TV things. And that's why I don't worry about us going back to the same kind of thing, because I think he'll provide a different version of it.
Right. So that all sounds great. What did you make of it?
I really loved it. And there's a moment about 50 minutes in, maybe 45 minutes in, where there's another callback that took my breath away. And that is why I'm excited about it.
And that's on now, is it?
It is on now.
Great,
too,
I can get stuck into that. I have to ask you, could James just talk about how good the second season of Severance is getting? Slow start, but have a lot of trust in the storytelling. So
well, I would even say the first season, it was a slow start. And what I liked about it was always so weird, right? And what I particularly like about season two of Severance is, breaking free of that Mike White mold, they're spending a lot of time outside of the office, right? So, I mean, are you familiar with Severance?
I'm not, actually.
Okay,
no.
You need to get familiar with it. But it's essentially a drama.
It's Apple, is it?
It's an Apple TV show. Yeah. It's a drama about people who have this separate consciousness when they are inside work and outside of work, and a mystery involving the weird company that they work for. And I will say that season two is taking these big, bold narrative leaps that I find very interesting and exciting.
Okay, sounds great too. I will try and check that out. Our second show is Big Boys, streaming on Channel 4 now on Channel 4. Take a listen to this.
£17,000. I know, it's a life-changing amount of money.
That's not that much.
You're secretly a Tory and I hate
it. So I'm going to spend some of it on setting up Shannon Nannigan's Party Planners LTD Incorporated, and then an all-inclusive Holly Bob's your uncle to Greece. And you're all invited.
What?
Yeah.
You're not all invited. You not. No.
Just invest it, Shen.
What in? Oil and gas? Nan, please. The world's on fire. Have you not heard of climate change? No. Instead, we are all flying to Greece.
Nan's right, Shan.
Well, Nan isn't coming, is she? Because she doesn't fly ever since Jack made her watch that 9/11 documentary.
Sorry, Nan.
I just really want to connect with my late father's culture. You know, I just want to celebrate the fact that I'm actually Greek.
So that is from Big Boys, streaming on channel4.com, the final season. And you know the way you mentioned, or I think someone mentioned, there's a lot of TV around. I'm afraid this has gone into there's too much TV. I don't know this at all.
Well, the good thing about a show like this is if you wanted to do the full binge of the entire show, it's literally 9 hours, right?
Because,
you know, it's six, 3x6 by half hour seasons. So it's a very, very manageable British kind of sitcom to just mainline if you wanted to do it. And you should, because it is a very funny, very well made, and surprisingly interesting and very kind of dramatically impactful sitcom, which you wouldn't necessarily say about every Channel 4 sitcom.
No.
Right. So it comes from a guy named Jack Rook, who is a British comedy writer. It is loosely semi-autobiographical in the sense that the lead character is a version of him during his university days. The lead character, Jack, is played by Dylan Llewellyn, who you would know as James from Derry Girls, if you saw that one.
Yeah.
And he, when he goes to this university, for the first member of his family to do so, studying journalism, ends up living with this slightly older, mature student. He's only like 25, but older than 18, yep, shall we say. This kind of straight lad from Margate named Danny. And it's about their interaction with each other. Now, as we kind of heard in the clip there, Jack and the real Jack Rook lost his father as a teenager. So that sort of is hanging over the entire show, dealing with the loss of his father. But as we moved into each season and the various hijinks that happen when one is in university fresher and, you know, beyond, there's also a lot of discussion about young men and depression and how they deal, okay, with depression as channeled through Danny. Now, Danny is played by John Poynting, who is this British actor who's having a moment. And like, certainly this final season has been so critically lauded that like you could expect him to win a BAFTA or something for this kind of role, because he's both incredibly funny when the moment calls for. And as I said, yeah, what I really liked about this is it is a sitcom that is actually funny, unlike a lot of kind of American comedies these days that are really dramas with jokes. Yeah, right?
Yeah, absolutely. The idea of straightforward comedy is almost dead. Yes,
right. And then I have to eat my words and eat humble pie immediately, because this show then in its finale episode does something very, very unusual and breaks the fourth wall. Right. So it always did kind of break the fourth wall in the sense that Jack Rook, the writer creator, was narrating the show himself, but then he actually appears on camera as himself talking to the various characters, and it is this very meta moment. It works in the sense that they managed to completely pull it off and have this very, wow, effective and affecting finale, which again, not many sitcoms actually manage to pull off. The longer they go on, the more kind of panic and rot seems to set in. So this is 18 episodes now complete. There is not going to be any more big boys, but if you were to catch up, you would be catching up with something that is very, very funny and it makes incredibly good use of its period setting, right? Yes. So it's set in the years like 2013 to 2015, which I realise maybe people won't think is a period, but look, anything in the past is a period setting. What happens is they're able to mine that period for incredible humour, in the sense that they make fun of things of like Jeremy Clarkson getting fired from Top Gear, the Brexit vote,
okay,
a life before air fryers, all that, yeah, kind of stuff, yeah, right? And like, there's nothing as odd as the recent past. So really, yeah, they're able to kind of explore that incredibly funnily. But in addition, they're able to kind of tread this narrative line where everything is kind of great. Yes. And like, I don't remember those, you know, that period, yeah, of being quite as PC and woke as it was, although maybe some people will disagree. But all in, this is a really funny, warm, well-made sitcom.
That sounds great, James. Yeah, fairness, I will. 9 hours. I'm just trying to see where I can carve nine
you don't
hours.
You have to do it all at once, you know.
Yeah, out of my life. There's a lot of TV out there. I'm enjoying so much at the moment. I want to go to the next one, though. Clean Slate, which is now on Amazon Prime. Take a listen to this.
I got a little something for you. I wrote that note to a 10-year-old you.
Oh, my God, you did?
Yes.
That's amazing. Dear Dez, I'll be home around 6. There's bologna in the fridge.
What?
It's just that when Dr. Vera Richa Guerrera suggested this exercise...
I ain't trying to hear nothing about no Dr. Richa Sushi Palomo. You disappeared 23 years ago. Not one call, not nothing. And somehow, I get ambushed. Just hard for me.
Seriously? Hard for you? Did you ever think about why I had to run away?
I thought I did right by you.
Sounds very intriguing, I have to say, straight off. A Clean Slate on Amazon Prime. What's going on?
So this is from the two people we heard in the clip there. That is Laverne Cox, who people will know from Orange is the New Black, and George Wallace, who I don't think is a particularly well-known American comedian in Ireland, but yeah, he's a very well-known American comedian in the US, and he did feature in Hacks as himself. That's an example of his bona fides as a real...
Okay, wow.
Right? And they created this show together with the assistance of Norman Lear, who was this American super producer. He signed on to executive produce it. He made all of these really famous comedies in the 70s, 80s, 90s, All in the Family, Maud, Sanford and Son, One Day at a Time. This was his last project before he passed away at the ripe age of 101.
101?
Yes, in 2023.
I wonder what his skincare was like.
Well, I can't comment to his skincare, but I can comment to his politics, because his sitcoms were always full of these like progressive politics and characters. And certainly this would be part of that, you know, yeah, family. So Laverne Cox plays Desiree, who left her home 23 years ago as Des and returns 23 years later to her Alabama town as the trans woman, proud trans woman she is now, to basically reintegrate herself into her father's life after they had had this schism for 23 years. And essentially, it is a sitcom without the laugh track, but taking place in a small Alabama town where this trans woman returns and upsets the apple cart in various ways. Now, all in, it is at times very sweet and funny. When I was watching it, I kept thinking, like, the town of, I think it's Mobile, Alabama, yeah, should be twinned with Schitt's Creek because it's,
I'm sure,
like,
the people in Mobile are going to be delighted to hear that, James.
Because it's that kind of warm, cutesy, full of eccentric characters kind of situation, right? Yeah. Where everyone ultimately supports everyone. But it isn't quite that. The further I got into it, there are some people in the town are not happy to see her return, certainly as the woman she is today, whereas everyone else seems to be getting on fine with it. All in, it is at its best when it's just the interplay between the pair of them. She's this uptight woman returned from New York. She's new agey. He's an old school, you know, barbecue eating car wash owner. And like, all in, when it's the interplay between them, yeah, it's very, very funny. It also is surprisingly political, given the current state of the US yeah, administration.
I was thinking that.
Would it have been greenlit now? I don't actually know. Yeah. Certainly, you know, it remains to be seen. But this isn't going to rock anybody's boat. It's not going to change the world. But it's very fun and easy to watch.
Okay, I'm starting to feel sorry for Mobile, Alabama, because it's actually name-checked in a Bob Dylan song as well.
Oh, yeah?
Stuck inside of Mobile with the Memphis Blues. Again. Honest to God, what did that poor town do? Everyone asking where we can watch White Lotus. It's Sky, isn't it?
Sky Atlantic. Sky Atlantic and Now TV, yeah.
When is Reacher back? Asks
Reacher, I think, is back on Friday. And that's actually, I'm very much looking forward to that one.
Okay, could you ask TV Guy, that's you, if he's watching Northern Lights on TG Car? Really good Irish drama. No, I haven't.
Get to it.
Yeah, but CG Hard dramas are often wonderful, so I'm sure it is. And we will check it out. And that is, you've answered all the questions correctly. And you've won the washing machine. So thank you very much, James.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.